And there would always be picket captains who were in charge of so many pickets and so on. But there was never, at that time, there was never any episodes or any violence. The companies didn't try to bring in strike breakers, scabs if you want. And they didn't try to do that, so therefore there was no violence. And it only lasted 6 weeks, so it didn't get to the point of desperation where you would, where women got out there and did battle too, like you see many times in some strikes, and you see it on television now and again.
Was there a march to Victoria as part of that strike?
Yeah, that was part of it. The trek, the big trek to Victoria, that's what they call it, yeah. And we went, of course, all the way from Canberra, all the way from the island, Port Alberni, everywhere. And they all congregated in the various centers, and on they went down to Victoria, see where the car carried a cavalcade. That must have been thousands, you know. Because, do you know Victoria? Well, of course you do. You know the Parliament buildings? I guess it was about 6 deep, clean around the whole thing. You know, there was a, I don't know how many men and women would be there. Not so many women, but an awful lot of men cleaning around that whole Parliament buildings.
Women were involved on that trek, were they? To some extent?
A little, to some extent. I'm trying to think about that one.
Were there women?
No, I don't really think so. No, I don't. I'll tell you, when you see, when you interview the next woman, if you do, like Olette or Anne Wobbly, you ask them if they were involved. Just offhand, I don't believe they were. Because we fed everybody out at this army camp, which was now empty after the war. But men did the cooking and so on, you know. And it was, and as I said before, the war was not, 46, the war was just over. There was a lot of men in our ranks, right out of the army, right out of the cookhouses, right out of everything. And they just knew how, and there was an army camp with all the cooking facilities, you see. They knew just how to do it all. And they just fed us like we were in the army and lay on the floor.
Were there women who had come into the union and the industry during the war as workers, particularly in the mills in the area?
Women?
Yeah.
They tried it. And they went in the... There was a few women... I'm talking about just this area. Cause I'm not sure what happened further afield. But right here, there was two or three women went to work in a little logging camp there. And the loggers at that time really rebelled at the idea of women being in the woods with them. Because for one thing, we have our natural functions, don't we? And it was very awkward, we'll say, for them to have to go and find a place here out in the bush. And it must have been the same for the women too, but however, they didn't want women there. And women could only function in the woods just in very few places, maybe like in those days what we call a whistle block or something like that, just signaling, you know. They couldn't pack those jokers of big cables and wrap them around logs and jump up and climb trees. No, they couldn't do that. So that just petered out as fast as it petered in, you might say. Then it was tried in the mill. And Mr. Humbert at that time, it was the Victoria Lumber Company at that time, there was not a shortage of workers at that time. There was not particularly a shortage of workers. So, but he started to bring men, women rather, I think it was in the planer mill, not in the big sawmill. I don't think women could have functioned there very well. You could nowadays more because they can drive forklifts and things just like as good as a man. Now, many of them are doing it right now too. But then it wasn't quite the same. I don't even know if they had those forklifts. They didn't, in fact. They didn't have forklifts. It was done by hand. But they got jobs in the planer mill and they were paid less than their counterparts. And right away, now, I should state at this point that the mill was not organized. And there was discrepancies in the wages being paid to the various people, like Chinese and so on. A Chinese could, a young Chinese with a wife and a family could be working next to you and you'd get less wages. That was rampant in the early days of the mines too. Chinaman was a Chinaman. He got less. He wasn't as good as you, but yet he did the same work. So anyway, the men in general looked at it as a threat to their position in the mill, in their wages. Here they are being undermined. A woman's taking that job. She's going to get less wages, and so he'll hire all women, you see. So we were told at that time, we had a pretty good, solid beginning of our organization here at that time. We were told by men from Chimanas, now is your chance to organize Chimanas Mill. Because what, I should tell you this, Chimanas was a very much of a company town. And a lot of the men over there, well, Mr. Humbert and the superintendents and the bosses, they were little gods. They couldn't do no wrong, you see. And, but they weren't all that way. So they said, now is your chance. Their position is threatened by women and so on, so you better get in here and organize. Now we'll get what this little lady Lapner. He was called of a very few interested men, workers, sawmill workers. In fact, it was in our house. You remember on White Street, Al? Lawrence Cloak and a few more of them. We held a little meeting in our house. And then another meeting was held in the hall down here, where away from Chimanas, you see. And there was a goodly amount of people turned up. They're looking for something for you here. You've got the microphone ready for you.
Sing the song.
Well, I think why she was laughing was because he was talking about how one of the reasons for organization was that the men were reacting to women being in the mills.
No, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, no, she wasn't involved in that.
No, I don't know too much. Don't know anything about it.
Well, you just know what you read.
I just know what you told me.
I mean, you weren't involved in it, no.
That could have been a pack of lies, eh?
Yeah. So anyway, to carry on, then a meeting was called here in Ladysmith in the Agricultural Hall, which is a big hall, and there was a good turnout. So then they tried to rent a hall in Chimanas, but the company owned the hall. So there was no way they could rent a hall in Chimanas. But, we're getting off the women, aren't we? But there was no other way in the hall. But Nigel Morgan at that time was the secretary of the International Woodworkers of America, District 1, I should say that. That was British Columbia, District 1. And he said, well, we can call a meeting on the school grounds, which is government property, and there's no way the company can interfere. So a meeting was called on the school grounds in Chimanas. And boy, they were just there solid, the men there. And he spoke to them. And from then on, Subloco was organized in Chimanas. As I described before, we were Subloco. That was the beginning of the Subloco in Chimanas. And then they got going there, of course, and were involved in the strike. But they also had a women's auxiliary there, I think. Although I don't know too much about that or who.
What year was that, do you remember? That they organized in Chimanas? Was it during the war?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't pinpoint whether it would be about 43 or 42 or 43, maybe.
Do you know what happened to the women who had come into the mill when they unionized?
Well, they were just laid off or what have you, they dropped out, maybe felt they weren't wanted or the work was too much or something. But the thing is this, they didn't rehire, they didn't hire anymore. Nor they didn't rehire women.
Was there any discussion of equal pay for equal work?
Well, it was from our point, but not with these women. Now, these women, I don't even know who they were.
Right.
You see? So, but that was one of our big points in organizing the men, was equal pay for equal work. And I can remember clearly being in this Chinaman's home. And I clearly remember he had a young wife and he had three young children. They were right there in the kitchen. And he said, but, he was a boo man, incidentally. He said, if we were to get the same wages as the white men, then they wouldn't hire us. They would prefer to have a white man, you see. And that's when we told them, this is where your union will stand solidly behind you. If you get fired just because of your race, then there will be trouble.
But there wasn't any kind of similar discussion around women. in the Union. No,
it didn't get to that.
Yeah, they were seen as a threat.
That's right. It was seen as a threat to the, you know, lesser wages. And that was true. It was a threat to the men. See, in a company town like that, you've got to understand that anything goes, see? And a woman who maybe doesn't have a job or just working in a candy store at that time for $15 a week, a job getting her, say, oh, at that time, I don't know, I would have to wildly guess, I guess. Well, let's say guess at 50 cents an hour, that looked pretty good. $4 a day, that's pretty good. See, that's a lot of money. That was a 6-day week, too, then.
Did women in the communities, like in Ladysmith and Chemainus and the small lumbering towns, did many women work? Or did women generally stay home with families?
Oh, at that time, generally stayed home with families. Wouldn't you say that, Al? That time, there was not many women who worked out. The restaurants and that was all girls, you know, single, mainly. Well, you might see the odd married woman working somewhere, not so much as now.
Is that because there weren't jobs?
No.
Is that because there weren't jobs? Or?
Well, there wouldn't be as many jobs then. But also, another reason was they didn't have equipment in the homes. That was the word for, like, automatic washing machines and deep freezers and vacuum cleaners. And they couldn't afford them if there were such things, but there wasn't. Well, some of them had washing machines, all right, but maybe the old hand type or something. And, well, it was washing machines and more of a, like the old beaties, the belt driven and so on. So that women had more to do at home, you know. No electric stoves or anything. So the women had more to do at home, so they just couldn't find the same time to go out and work as they do now. Now they're bored at home. Even if they got 2 or 3 kids, they're still bored. And they got to go out and find a job somewhere, and which they do.
Were there differences in wages for married men and single men?
No. Not from the men's point of view, no. No, the job paid the wages all right. So if you were a single man doing the same job as a married man, you got the same wages, of course.
Okay.
Anything in my way, you know, never, ever. And I'll tell you, it was trying times.
Yeah.
Not only trying times, but often I was away from home an awful lot. Even right here, you know, we had a little office downtown here. And you'd be down there, and she never ever complained or put anything in my way at all. And so in that way, a family has sacrificed, to a large extent by anyone who was really active in those days particularly. Well, I guess it's the same today, but only we're not organized today, they're organized and so on, you see.
Was there a lot of discussion amongst women in the community about the unions and the kind of things that were going on in the unions, like the strike and so on? Even if women weren't directly active in, you know, support work?
Well, there would be discussions, wouldn't there? Women here and there would be talking, and someone saying, "Where's my old man? For Christ's sake, get back to work or something." And others would be, you know, the opposite. You know, realize what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
And doing that, and who for? Not only for us,
yeah,
but for them.
Yeah, there's a lot that was sympathetic.
Right.
But I guess many women had a lot of responsibilities around the home and couldn't necessarily be active.
No, that's right, yeah.
Okay.
We're not giving you really much on the women's front, are we?
Actually,